Hi, and welcome to the Cutaneous Connection, a podcast from the staff at Dermatology Times, aiming to provide you with the latest news in dermatology, exclusive interviews with leading experts, and a glimpse at what goes on behind the scenes of clinical trials, research, and innovation. In this episode, board-certified dermatologist of U.S. Dermatology Partners, Daniel Walker, shares emerging insights into the expanding role of GLP-1 receptor agonists beyond their primary use in diabetes and weight loss, highlighting their promising yet still investigational impact on inflammatory skin diseases like psoriasis and HS. Drawing from early clinical data and real-world observations, Walker explains how these therapies may reduce pro-inflammatory cytokines and serve as valuable adjunct treatments, particularly in patients with comorbid obesity and metabolic syndrome. Additionally, Walker addresses aesthetic considerations associated with rapid weight loss and underscores the importance of a holistic, multidisciplinary approach to care in these patients.
My name is Daniel Walker. I am a board-certified dermatologist. I work in Grapevine, Texas. I work in a private clinic, and I've been there for about 10 years. I enjoy treating all kinds of patients. I mostly do clinical medical dermatology with a focus on mostly inflammatory diseases like psoriasis, atopic dermatitis, and things like that. So happy to be here with you.
When a patient is on GLP-1s, how does it affect the immune system and the inflammation associated with dermatologic conditions?
GLP-1 receptor agonists, which have obviously become very, very popular worldwide, are still in the very early stages of being used for inflammatory diseases like psoriasis, for example. These are not yet currently FDA approved for these types of conditions. So a lot of the data that we have is still very early. And so there's not been a lot of really robust clinical trials specifically that's done on these things. So a lot of the data that we have is from retrospective studies and anecdotal data. So essentially, what we do know is that there are a lot of effects on the body that are not necessarily limited to what GLP-1 receptor agonists are being used for primarily, which is weight loss and for diabetes. So what we've learned over time is that these drugs can have an anti-inflammatory effect. And we are still discovering new ways that these are affecting inflammation on the body in multiple organ systems. And obviously, as a dermatologist, I have a major interest in inflammation associated with dermatological conditions. And so the ones that we've found so far that are the most relevant in terms of their response to GLP-1 receptor agonists are psoriasis and hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. What a lot of studies have shown is that there are certain cytokines and inflammatory mediators that are really important in these conditions for the development of these conditions that are significantly being affected by GLP-1 receptor agonists. So cytokines, which we know have been targets of lots of therapeutic agents for psoriasis and HS for a long time, these particular cytokines are being reduced and are being sort of managed in very specific ways through these drugs. And so that's something I think that's been really interesting to a lot of us, that these drugs, while they're being used primarily for weight loss or for diabetes, are also like anti-inflammatory in many ways. Still need a lot of clinical trials, maybe specifically looking at that, but there are these very promising studies that have shown that they've been helpful in treating patients with psoriasis or HS, primarily by reducing pro-inflammatory cytokines.
How do you envision GLP-1s potentially being used for inflammatory diseases like psoriasis and HS?
Currently, they're not approved, obviously, for psoriasis or HS. Most of the studies have shown clinical improvement in these conditions. I don't think that any study has been able to reproduce improvement or reproduce effects equal to some of the other sort of modalities or therapies that we currently have for psoriasis or HS. Psoriasis in particular, we have some very, very good drugs that are really, really helpful that can essentially, in a lot of cases, clear a patient's psoriasis completely. I think that we are at a place right now where they would be and could be very valuable adjunctive therapies to some of the other treatments that we have. But in reality, we know that psoriasis and HS are much more than just skin conditions, okay? And we know that patients with both psoriasis and HS often have comorbidities, that they often carry with them this so-called metabolic syndrome and those conditions that go along with that. So I think that looking at psoriasis and HS or these inflammatory conditions as a whole body problem or as a multi-system problem is really the right way to address them. And so we've known for years and years that these patients have metabolic issues that when managed correctly or properly, that their psoriasis improves. So it's probably not a huge surprise to physicians, to clinicians, that when patients lose weight, that their psoriasis can often improve or their HS can improve. So I think that really to kind of summarize and answer your question, they are very helpful adjunctive treatments at this point in a similar way that a patient improves even if they're on other therapies, topical therapies or other therapies for their skin disease. We know they also improve when they lose weight or when they control their heart disease or their blood pressure. We know that those things are probably closely linked. And so in a similar way that they might see improvement in addition to therapies they're on, I think that GLP-1 receptor agonists will provide an additional sort of adjunctive assistance or more help for them when they may struggle to get completely clear. There might be a day where that is sort of a quote unquote monotherapy. But I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we've seen the results that would really need to justify using these primarily as a monotherapy, but certainly as like a helpful adjunctive therapy.
Which dermatology patient groups or subtypes do you think could benefit most from GLP-1s?
That's a great question. Currently, what most of the data has shown is that the dermatology patients, for example, the psoriasis or HS patients that do show the most improvement are the patients who also have comorbid obesity or other metabolic syndrome problems. And so that makes a lot of sense when we consider that obesity is primarily what these drugs are being targeted for, but yeah, we've found that the patients that are also obese with psoriasis show the most improvement with GLP-1 receptor agonist. These studies have shown that their skin can improve while on a GLP-1 receptor agonist, regardless of whether or not they actually lose weight. And so the weight loss and the skin improvement is often linked, but it's not completely dependent on each other. And so this is sort of an independent improvement in their skin, regardless of whether or not they're losing weight. So we know that there is some direct anti-inflammatory effect on their skin condition provided by these drugs. So currently, it looks like the patients that do the best are also obese and have these metabolic syndrome issues.
How should clinicians balance the facial aesthetic concerns associated with GLP-1 treatment?
Aesthetic issues that come along with GLP-1 receptor agonists are real. Just like any type of dramatic weight loss can significantly affect laxity of the skin, volume loss, fat loss, all those things are issues that plague any type of person or patient that has some type of dramatic weight loss. Okay. The question then is, are those issues really more dramatic, or are they emphasized in patients on GLP-1 receptor agonists? Personally, I don't really think that's true. I don't think that there's something unique about the weight loss that occurs with a GLP-1 receptor agonist that potentially emphasizes these Ozempic face or some of the skin problems that they may have. I think that this occurs with any type of traumatic weight loss. I think that the weight loss needs to be done carefully and slowly. I think that malnutrition is a big issue for patients that, sometimes are on these drugs. And so it should be done like very carefully, very slowly, if possible, done in conjunction with nutrition or nutritionist or under the care of like a very good physician that is comfortable with these drugs and knows what to expect. So that being said, yes, patients are going to lose weight. They're going to have a very different appearance. Sometimes that shows up in the face. I think that offering patients that do the weight loss correctly, things like cosmetic fillers, is really not a bad idea at all. I think that fillers and those types of cosmetic products can be very helpful for these patients. But I also think that proper nutrition and probably prioritizing protein intake for patients when they're on sort of a low calorie diet, and also encouraging strength training in patients on GLP-1 receptor agonists. I think that those are all part of like a complete picture that I think that these patients really need to be aware of. So while I think that cosmetic treatments that we can provide can give a good sort of immediate improvement in patients that may have these things, I think that a whole multifactorial health approach is important. Okay. I think that diet, exercise, strength training are all need to be addressed in these patients in order to help them have the most sort of healthy physical appearance.
Are there any upcoming studies you're excited about that could validate the use of GLP-1s in dermatology and beyond?
So one area that is going to be studied for GLP-1 receptor agonists, or that's getting some traction, is wound healing, which is interesting. So I don't know how much that will be investigated as, sort of like a primary treatment for wound healing, but it is interesting to note that like patients on GLP-1 receptor agonists have improved wound healing. There will be some trials looking at psoriatic arthritis, which makes sense considering we've seen a lot in psoriasis. So yes, we are going to continue to see more of these trials done. We are going to continue to see more data on these drugs as they continue to be very popular. There are new GLP-1 receptor agonists being developed all the time. I don't think that we are going to see these slow down at all, especially as we start to see more options in terms of the oral GLP-1 receptor agonists. They are sort of the up and coming new treatments within this field. We will still see more injectable GLP-1 receptor agonists, and I think that as drug companies continue to develop these new drugs, we're going to have new ways to get patients on these. We've actually already seen a lot of companies sort of develop a cash-based model for putting patients on these. And so that just opens a whole other window of opportunity for patients who want to get on these without necessarily having to be diagnosed with obesity or have diabetes. And so coverage or insurance coverage has always been a big issue, but they're going to have more and more availability for these medications for patients. I think that one of the interesting things, some of the interesting studies, to me, some of the most interesting studies we've seen on these are actually also outside of the realm of dermatology. There are reports of GLP-1 receptor agonists helping patients with neuropsychiatric disease. There are reports that they can be very helpful in patients with both Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's. And so there is a lot of remodeling and neuroinflammation that is affected in these patients that are on these medications. And so they've actually seen that patients have better cognitive function with Alzheimer's disease or less motor dysfunction in patients with Parkinson's disease, which to me is just fascinating. So that's a big one. Coronary artery disease and atherosclerosis has been shown to be significantly impacted by these drugs. So we are just sort of seeing the beginning, I think, of like a whole world of potential opportunities to use these medications, not just within dermatology, but I think that we'll see more and more. It will be interesting to see, some of the other very inflammatory conditions that we often encounter, like atopic dermatitis, and how does it affect atopic dermatitis? Those are even maybe seborrheic dermatitis. So these are things I think that we'll continue to see in the future.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience today?
In general, the consensus among most of the studies that we've seen within dermatology are that there needs to be more, controlled studies in these drugs for skin conditions. I think that that will continue to be something that we see in the future. I think that they have such a wide-reaching potential to improve health that I think that it is something that all dermatologists should sort of pay attention to and respect. Currently, these medications, GLP-1 receptor agonists, don't have a particular field of medicine that they are limited to. There's no specific type of doctor, no specialty that's really claimed GLP-1 receptor agonists as their own. There's no particular specialty that's doing these more than others. So I think that there's an opportunity for dermatologists to really learn about these medications and really grasp their potential as much as any other specialty. Patients are already coming to us with their skin disease, but in general, we are in the business of trying to help people look better. And so I think that dermatologists can really play an important role in just helping people's health improve just in general. And I think that we should not sort of shy away from these things because it may not be strictly a skin disease that we're treating, that we can help a patient's health improve overall by improving their heart disease and blood pressure and atherosclerosis, diabetes, and so many things that these medications are improving, that we can really play an important role in helping them as a whole person. So I think that there's a lot of opportunity for us as dermatologists really to really help patients. It just may be something that's not immediately something we are comfortable with because we don't normally treat, obesity and diabetes. We don't write insulin products for patients, but I think that this is an area where we can really sort of take charge, and if we want to get involved, I think that it's a great thing to do for patients. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity to help people. Patients already have an established relationship of trust with us. And the patients that I've spoken to about GLP-1 receptor agonists have all been very responsive. When I see patients that are obese and have psoriasis and they're obese and they have hidradenitis, it really helps when I can address those issues and tell them, like, listen, there's a lot more to your HS than just your skin. And we know that improving your health and lowering your BMI overall can be dramatically helpful for your skin disease. And just reduction of weight can have a profound effect on how much inflammation is affecting your body. And so I've used that as sort of a segue to say, have you ever considered being on one of these GLP-1 receptor agonists? Some of them have, some of them haven't. Some of them are more reluctant to do it. But I think when you explain to them that, you have a condition that already puts you at risk to be in this sort of elevated state of inflammation, that they're more willing and they're more receptive to being on a medication that can help that. So I don't know. I think they've been great for patients. I've seen people be really happy with them.
Like this podcast, have suggestions, or want to participate in future episodes? Contact our team at dtheditor@mmhgroup.com. For more Dermatology Times content, from articles to videos and podcasts, visit www.dermatologytimes.com.